Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're right here on News Talk 870 every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and we'd always like to thank the station for working to make this show happen. And that running the board over there, that's Mr. John McKay. John, how are you?
Probably feeling better than
kind of crazy. Quick, I mean, thanks for making it in, Tom. I mean, yeah. you were moving a little slow apparently last week after the show. I mean,
yeah, you know, out? Yeah. All I got to tell people is if you start getting a stomach ache and it just does not feel right, get to the hospital because yeah, I had to get my appendix out this last week and I am moving slow. I'm here. I'm better.
I, you are a trooper, man. I saw you in the parking lot and I'm like, are you sure you want to do the show? So thanks for coming in and doing it this week.
Yeah. I'm just, it could have been worse. So,
well, we're glad you got it taken care of. And we always talk about the medical staff and what we have here in the Tri-Cities and the care we have. And I mean, you were in there well, you know, taken care of.
It was kind of interesting. So, the nurse in the OR room, I did her alone for her, not the OR, emergency room. And then she's like, oh, your doctor is Mr. Alabuni, and he's going to be the one operating on you. And he said, you're his mortgage guy. And so
that is
he's putting the mask over in the operating room, you know, getting ready to put me to sleep. And he's chatting about his house and how things have been going. And I'm in like dire pain. I'm like, let's just talk when this is over.
That's fantastic.
That's funny.
It's Tri-City still. So anyway.
Yep, so no jabs to the ribs today.
No, please don't. No jabs to the ribs. We're gonna take it easy on Mr. Tom Coyne over there for sure. So last week we kind of had a pretty in-depth show and talked quite a bit about a bunch of the changes that are coming through in the mortgage industry, and that that really all kind of next week full steam ahead for sure. So we're right in that dealing with all of that and going through with that. Now, one of the things we always like to do is we always like to take what's happening, the questions that we're getting out there in the market right now, and bring that to the show so we can talk about it. And it's crazy. I mean, we've had such good weather and just this beautiful weather. I'm always a little bit shocked when it is all of a sudden, it's October. I mean, this is the first show of October. And so I'm kind of scrambling. And I was like, you know what? All of my clients and probably all of, you know, every other call I'm getting this week is, can we still sell our house in the fourth quarter? And what do we need to be thinking about to be prepared for that? So the number one thing that I wrote down, and so I put together a quick list of what am I saying on these appointments? What was I doing this week? How was I counseling those home sellers? So we could just talk a little bit about selling in the fall market. Now, there's a couple things that really stick out, and some of these are a little bit of anomalies, but they're good for people to remember. The first thing that I had, because we're in a transition right now where this is coming up, and we had a couple very, very close deadlines the last week with pools. And so the biggest thing is if you plan on selling a home during the winter months while that pool is closed, it is going to save you a lot of time and hassle as a seller if you have a pool inspection done when they close the pool.
Well, and have them close it, because then you have documented proof that a professional closed it and it was operating at the time of closure.
That is absolutely correct, Tom. And so that's a big thing that we tell sellers is have one of the pool companies come out. Even if you normally close it yourself, you think you do a better job than everybody else because you know the pool better. That all could be very, very accurate, but the buyer of your pool is not going to trust that. They might want that pool reopened. They might want it filled. And that's sometimes there's some months, December, January, where we can't even do that because it jeopardizes the pool because it's so cold. So having a professional pool company close the pool in the next month or two, if you're thinking about selling sometime in the next 6 months, documenting that, that will be a huge, huge thing to take care of with fall prep. kind of with that same line of thought with what we're going with water and pipes, and we're coming up on that time of year too where you need to have your sprinkler blowouts documented if you plan on selling in the fall. So I know a lot of times people have their own air compressors and they might do it themselves. There is still a there's a little more liability associated with that. It sounds funny, but you still could potentially do it yourself. If you did, I would very simply take a quick video of yourself doing it with a timestamp on there. Say, you know, it's October 15th, 2015. I'm blowing out the sprinklers at XYZ address. Something that you can use to document to the buyers of the house that that's been taken care of, because that's a big concern to buyers that are buying the next couple months.
Well, think about people just put it in their own shoes. Like when they're buying their next house, do they want to know that the sprinklers were blown out by a professional? I think pay the $40, have a professional do it, and that way you have the receipt.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the companies in town that we use and stuff, Gamash being one of them, they do a great job even where they tag the system. They'll blow it out and then they zip tie with a tag, do not remove, and make sure that that's been closed, and they have this great little tag that they put on it that I've seen them do in those blowouts. So something like that, that is documentation of that, is really, really key this time of year. So we're dealing with some, we're starting already to deal with some of those seasonal issues. So that is a big, big one. I mentioned this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'll mention it again, and that is fall HVAC service. We had a lot of smoke in the air this year. We had a lot of dust around in the air. So the first time that you fire up that heating unit, if you have not had it cleaned or the coils cleaned off, you are going to have a fantastic burning smell that happens when you fire it up. So having that system cleaned this fall, making sure the coils are clean, going through that with a professional HVAC company is another thing that the buyers are going to be looking for over the course of the next 3 or 4 months. And once again, documentation of that, those invoices are huge. And a lot of times what that can do is it will give you some additional peace of mind through the home inspection process. And a lot of times it will make the home inspection process go better. Because what happens is if the system is operating maybe not exactly within the parameters, a home inspector is not a professional HVAC inspector or company. So if it's just a little bit outside of that realm, or they think it's a little bit dirty, the home inspector, for liability reasons and for erring on the side of caution, will a lot of times call out, you need to have that HVAC system inspected and repaired per the documentation that they provide. Well, if you've just recently had that done prior to that, it's one less thing and red flag that the buyer sees from the home inspection report. And it also presents your property in a better light when they have that inspection. So if we can keep that list cut down to a smaller amount, provide professional documentation that is fall ready, as we call it, it's going to be a big, big help in that selling process. Not as often in our area as we see in some others, but it does come up, and that is, if you have any gutters or downspouts, I know we've had like zero moisture this year. I would like to think at some point we are going to have it again. And if we do, having those gutters cleaned out and those downspouts cleaned out. Also, a lot of times in some of our early windstorms and stuff, we see the splash guards that direct water away from the house are missing, or they've been moved, they're out of place. Going through and making sure that we're directing that winter moisture away from the house is going to be another big, big deal that comes up. Those are the first 7 or 8 tips that I wrote down. I have 7 or 8 more that I have come up with as we look at preparing your house in the Tri-Cities for the fall market. The fourth quarter is still projected to be a big, big quarter. We are on pace for a record sales year in Tri-Cities. We're still seeing a lot of activity in the market. So you can definitely still put your home on the market and get it sold in the fourth quarter. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few more tips on how to do that and speak briefly with Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking about the fourth quarter. I can't believe it's here already, but we have rolled over into October. We are in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and so we're looking at a lot of sales trends and where we're at. Tri-Cities is on a record pace through the first three quarters with number of sales. Kenmore team's on a record pace. And so we're just looking at what is going to happen in the fourth quarter. Along with the question that we get this time of year, the tree's starting to turn different colors. It's getting a little frostier, cold out there in the mornings. And people start to think, can I still get my house sold in the fourth quarter? You absolutely still can. We still have a lower amount of inventory than we've had in the last 5 years. We have gained a little bit of traction. We had been running roughly in that 890 for number of homes on the market to 900. We have clawed our way up to 935, 940, depending upon the reports you look at. So there's still a little bit more inventory, but not enough for the demand that we're still seeing. So that's great on the selling side of things, meaning you absolutely can still get your house sold in the fourth quarter. We've been meeting with people. One of the things we talked about before the break, though, is that there's a couple things that you can get done before the weather turns. And one of the first ones that we always have on that list is, if there is any sort of exterior painting to be done, you kind of have this window here where the weather's still good. You can get out there, get those door jams painted, get the trim around windows painted and caulked that are leaking. It's also not a bad idea to be sealing up those holes when we're going to have colder weather and stuff coming through those. So any sort of peeling paint that is on trim or the edges of the house, you need to get that while the weather's still good, buttoned up a little bit there and fixed. So that's a big thing prior to weather issues that we're looking at right now.
Well, Lance, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are programs out there where if the appraiser sees peeling paint, they're going to require it to be rectified and fixed. Now, if it's 30 degrees outside or 25 at night, paint's not going to set real well. So
no,
it can make it really hard for a buyer if the buyer's lender is saying, hey, you need to fix this paint before we'll close on this loan, and they're not actually able to paint. Now, a lot of lenders allow holdbacks for weather-related items, such as like painting outside. Some don't, though, so you'd want to check with your specific lender on that scenario. But for a seller, it's better to just get those items handled while the weather's nice, because 9 times out of 10, an appraiser is going to call it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, folks, that is Mr. Tom Coyne with us. I want to go to Tom and just get a little bit of background on, we've had a lot of people coming through the websites, inquiries that were not pre-approved yet, are not sure about that process, have questions. What are some of the things that you've been seeing in the last month or two that you think we need to be prepared for?
You know, Lance, like you said, there's still plenty of time left in the year for someone to sell a house and get into a new one. And I might actually argue it might have been the best time it's been all year. Rates took an unexpected dip here recently. I think it was kind of widely expected that rates were actually going to be higher now than they were through the first three quarters of the year, but we're actually seeing them lower. So it's probably a really, really good time to buy. I still don't deep down think that we can maintain these rates that we've been at. They're just so low. So if you're looking to buy a house and you're thinking, geez, do I wait till February? Well, you got to ask yourself, okay, is it worth potentially having, a 0.5% higher interest rate? We don't know what rates are going to do, but We do know rates are very low right now, so possibly a really, really good time to buy. But one thing we don't really talk about a whole lot is, what do we look at when looking at a loan application? What are all the requirements? Someone may be a first-time home buyer out there listening to the show wondering, I wonder if I can even qualify. And so I want to talk about the different categories of things we look at and how you can be better positioned to get the best financing possible by just listening to a few of these tips. So for credit, that's always kind of the biggest thing we start with looking at. We really want to see a 620 credit score. Most programs, that's going to be the minimum requirement that you're going to need on a loan. And a 620 credit score, I would call below average. So it's pretty lenient to be able to get into a home with just a 620 credit score. I would say a 680 is average, and 740 and above is excellent. So, of course, the higher your credit scores, the better financing terms you're going to get. Now, if you're wanting to get into a conventional loan, which is traditionally the best financing you'll be able to get, unless you're a veteran and you can go VA, if you want conventional, you're going to want to try to get your credit scores at 700 or above. Now, we always look for judgments and liens. That's very important on a credit report. The reason lenders are so concerned about that is, let's say you have a tax lien and you buy a house. As soon as you own that property, it is possible that that tax lien now gets stuck as a lien against the property. And so because that would threaten our interest in the property, every lender out there is going to require that judgments and tax liens are paid off before closing. We're also going to look at bankruptcy, foreclosures, short sales. There's mandatory waiting periods for every loan program out there. So if you're curious, maybe you've had some credit challenges in the past and some time's gone by and you want to see, am I at a spot where I can now qualify for a house, or how long do I need to wait from my bankruptcy? You know, give me a call. Happy to go through that with you. Not a bad idea is to maybe go online. There's a lot of free credit report services out there, and see what's on your credit report. Now, I'd recommend that you pull your credit from all three credit bureaus. A lot of, say, collection companies will only report to one. So let's say you just pull Equifax, but a collection company is only reporting to TransUnion. You may not necessarily even see that other collection on there. So by pulling all three credit bureaus, you're going to see everything that you have out there, and gives you the opportunity to start working on some of those items so that you can get into a position to be able to buy a house. Now, I wouldn't rely on the credit scores that those online companies tell you. I've never seen those be accurate. I think those are better used as just a guideline of what's out there, what's on your credit, making sure there's no new accounts pop up, but don't rely on the credit scores they're telling you. Now, the next thing we always, of course, look at is employment history. Generally, we want to see a 2-year employment history for all borrowers. Now, it's okay if you're not with the same employer for the last 2 years, but we like to see consistency in the same line of work. Now, one thing that really, really helps is, let's say someone is works 40 hours every single week. We know exactly what their pay is going to be. Lenders feel really good about that because you have good, consistent income. Or maybe you get a set salary. Where a lender could get nervous is, let's say you just started with a new employer 3 months ago, and they say you can work up to 40 hours a week, but we see a pay stub with 32 hours, and then we see a pay stub with 28, and then we see a pay stub with 40. Well, that makes us nervous because you don't have a long history with that employer, and there's not a real indicator of what can we expect those hours to be moving forward. So stability in employment and stability in the amount of income you're bringing in is very, very important to a lender, and every scenario is different. So I wouldn't automatically rule your situation out, you know, but call me, and again, we can go through your scenario and see if you're eligible to get financing and if we can use your income to qualify. Now, let's say you have a second job. You generally have to have both your first and second job for 2 years to be able to count the second employment income. Reason is lenders want to see that you're able to sustain that extra work of the second job for an extended period of time before we'll use that income. And then generally we'll do a 2-year average of that income. And that 2-year average is similar to what we do with, say, commission, bonus, or overtime income. We use a 2-year average of that income as well. And if your employer, say, won't tell us that maybe bonus or overtime income is likely to continue, then we won't use that to qualify. Now, let's say you just graduated from college and you got a nursing degree and you're 3 months in at the hospital. the 3 months is okay. And so you don't have to have 2 years of actual employment history, because we're going to use your schooling to tie in with your employment history to help qualify you. And of course, if you work out of the hospital, you can qualify for the Homes for Heroes program.
Absolutely. Yes. And we're one of the preferred providers, especially out there at Cadillac and the employees out there. Along that same lines, I had a question for you that comes up sometimes, and that is when people are transferring from out of the area. So like a lot of times we have folks that go work in North Carolina or South Carolina at the other plants, and then they come back to work at Hanford. How does that work when they've accepted a new job here and are moving back?
Well, Lance, I know I've talked to you about this a lot, but Umpqua doesn't have any overlays, and an overlay would be a rule up and above what the standard guidelines are out there. So I really think we have a huge advantage over most of the lenders in town for relocation employees specifically. So Fannie Mae, there's a rule out there for professionals that if you're, say, relocating, accepting a new job, we'll close the loan up to 60 days before you even start employment, just based off the offer letter. Most lenders out there want to see 30 days of pay stubs at the new company. So in order to get 30 days of pay stub at an employer, there's generally, you know, a few weeks go by before you get your first pay stub, and that maybe has 2 weeks on it, and then you got to wait another 2 weeks. So you're potentially 45 days out from starting employment before you could provide a lender with that pay stub. Well, people don't want to move to town, rent a house for 2 months, and then close on their loan. So we'll get, and this applies to professionals, you know, if you're going to take a, say, a part-time job, this wouldn't apply because we won't know exactly what those hours are. But as long as you have, say, a set salary or a set amount of hours, then we can potentially close that loan up to 60 days before they even start with their new employer.
Good info.
Now, let's say you get alimony or child support. Generally, what we want to see is 12 months of consistent receipt of that income. So let's say you're getting child support, but you know it's not consistent. There's months that it's missed or it's not the full payment. We won't use that income at all to qualify. But assuming you have it consistently for the last 12 months and we can document that it will continue for at least 3 years, we'll use that to help qualify for your loan. And then retirement income as well. We just get award letters for, say, Social Security or pensions documenting what your gross monthly income is, and then we'll use that. Now, what we look at between the employment that we just went over and credit is what's called debt to income. So we're going to take all of the debts that would generally show up on your credit report. So that's, say, an auto loan, credit card, student loans, and then the prospective house payment, and we're going to divide that by your gross income. That gives us what we call your debt to income. Generally, we like to see that number below 45%. So you could probably do some quick math on your situation and what house payment you're considering and see, is my debt to income below 45%? If you want help with that, again, feel free to call me. And the last thing we really look at is assets. So we want to make sure that you have enough money to close the transaction. There are zero down loans out there. And then if you, say, write up an offer where you're negotiating the seller to pay your closing costs for you, you could potentially get into a house with zero down. But most of the time, you're better off if you can come up with a down payment. And there's various ways you can get that. Of course, you can just, good old-fashioned way, save up for it. We're going to be looking at your bank statements to make sure there's no out of the ordinary deposits. There's not some $10,000 cash deposit that just showed up 3 weeks ago. You know, anything kind of out of the ordinary, lenders want to know. And people kind of get offended by this. But really, the main thing that we're looking at is, if you have a big cash deposit, was this a loan of some sort? Now, right. Is this a debt? And now you have a monthly payment and you got to pay that back. Okay, now we got to factor that in. So there's rules for your bank statements. I always tell clients, before you do anything, talk to me. We're on the same team. I'll tell you how we need to do this.
And I always remind people, you know, and I know they get frustrated with the process and stuff and they feel like it's double checking. And I always remind people, you're asking them to give you $200,000. The old "just trust me" doesn't really work too
right.
well.
This isn't like walking up to the lemonade stand. Well, here's your money.
Yeah,
Lance, I'm glad you say that, because I can't count the number of times I want to sell somebody.
I know, but I think for our listeners of the radio, I mean, we can kind of say to them, like, yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. So if I'm going to give you $200,000 and you need it, I'm going to get whatever I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to double check and you know, and that's where competition and stuff comes into the marketplace. But it is a big deal, you know? And so when, it's hard because I think when we go through that process, you know, you're moving, your stuff is packed up, it's emotional. There's a lot going on. But I think from the perspective sometimes of the lender, is it's a big deal for you guys too to give them that money.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely is. We want to protect our investment. And if we're not protecting our investment and we're taking losses, then guess what? We have to raise costs and raise rates, which affects future people. So when you get in your house and you're needing to get a home loan, just go into it knowing that they may call me 3 or 4 times to ask for documentation. And really the best thing you could do is just get them what a lender, get your lender what they need as quick as you can. Last couple things I want to go over for assets. You can get gifts on basically all loan programs. So if you have a family member that's willing to gift you the down payment, you can go that route. Or also I encourage people to look at their 401k and see if there's a provision to say, pull money out of there without getting penalized. I look at, you know, your real estate and your retirement accounts as kind of an overall retirement portfolio. I always try to stress to all my clients, let's get your house paid off before you retire. It's just going to set you up a lot better for retirement and you'd be a lot more comfortable. So if you're pulling money from one retirement asset and putting it into another to get more favorable terms, I'm all about that.
Well, sounds great, Tom. Once again, fabulous information about getting ready to be qualified. We had numerous conversations the last 2 or 3 days with clients on the phone that had come through the websites and just said, in this market right now, if we are not sending pre-approval letters that are solid, that you've started your loan application, we're in a multiple offer situation. The sellers are not going to look at those offers. So we want to put you in the best possible position to take care of that. That's getting you over to Umpqua with Tom, and we really, really appreciate that.
You know, and Lance, it matters who you get your approval from. I just got a compliment from one of your teammates earlier this week, and they said, Tom, we got this offer because of your approval letter. There was another one. It was actually $500 higher, but the listing agent said, no, this is a local reputable lender. Let's go with this one.
That's awesome. I love hearing that too. I'm glad the other agents in town we're presenting to know that. And so it makes a big, big difference. Well, folks, between that and the tips we gave for getting your house ready to sell in the fall, there's absolutely a lot of business to be done in this fourth quarter. We're planning on finishing very, very strong and setting some super, super high new records and high benchmarks for the area. If you have any questions about any of the stuff we went over, any of the service providers you need to get some of that stuff taken care of at your house, please let us know. Go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message. We'll get right back to you on that, and we will be right back here next weekend.
Right here on News Talk 870.